Amen. Very, very thankful for the sweet, fervent prayer that's been offered. I believe each of you are praying for me now, and I ask you to just continue to do that as I stand before you for a little while and pray for one another that God would supply what we stand in need of tonight. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the Old Testament passage of the book of Deuteronomy, writing by inspiration of the Moses the prophet, as he was moved by God to pen these things down. I'd like to read from chapter 10 of the book of Deuteronomy, beginning at verse 12. And we'll read from verse 12 down to verse 22. The children of Israel had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt in such a great and wonderful way by the working of Almighty God. And they had seen the power of God and the power of a delivering God to bring them through circumstances that just appeared absolutely impossible, that they might be delivered out of the Egyptian bondage. And they've been given by the mouth of Moses, by inspiration of God, the promise of a land that flowed with milk and honey that they were going to be sent to, Canaan's land. And this language is to them as a result of what the Lord has done. And the question is given is what is required of them because of what the Lord, what is required of them because of what the Lord had done for them. And we begin reading that in verse 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heavens and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also and all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God, that hath done for thee great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude." And certainly we know the children of Israel were greatly blessed of the Lord as we read about that deliverance that came by Moses through the power and might of Almighty God. He says, "And now Israel," and I love to think about Israel and what that really means, Israel. Israel is a in the Old Testament was a nation that was not looking for the Lord, but the Lord called them. He moved in the life of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and chose unto himself a people, a natural people, and gave them the special blessings of Almighty God, even departed unto them the law, moral law and the ceremonial law, and just blessed them in such a miraculous way. Of all the people on the face of the earth, they were a blessed people in those in the times of the Old Testament. And we have a picture there of God's people in spiritual Israel that exist today and have existed always. Not only a natural people that have a natural bloodline and were blessed in that way, but a people that are in Christ Jesus, even elected and chosen in Christ before the very foundation of the world, a chosen people. Not a people who were worth choosing or did something to merit or earn that or deserve that, but that God made choice of. When God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there were any that were good, any that followed after God, any that sought after God, the psalmist writes, he looked down and said, just as Brother Junior has already said in his prayer, there's none good, no, not one. And if God had waited for man to get good before he made choice of him, if he had just used his foreknowledge and chose him based on his foreknowledge, there had been no act on the part of God, man would have not corrected that or done anything different, because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And so the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And no man, no woman, no boy, no girl would have ever changed their mind and become worthy or meritorious of God making choice of them, because they made first choice of him. So salvation belongs unto the Lord. It's all the work of Almighty God. And I'm so thankful tonight to be able to declare that to you. And there's not anything that the Scripture says here that Israel needed to do to be Israel. There was something they ought to be doing because they were Israel. But there's no direction here given that if you'll do this, you'll be Israel. If you'll do this, you'll be my chosen people. If there was no requirements given them at all that they were to do in order to become Israel. They were Israel by God's sovereign choice. God chose them. Chose them, I believe, spiritual Israel. He chose even before the foundation of the world, which certainly takes you and me out of it, because none of us were there to make a choice of him when he first chose us. When you get to salvation, there are many phases of salvation. One of those phases is the eternal phase of salvation, where God made choice of his people and he purposed to save them according to the good pleasure of his own will, according to his own counsel, according to his own purpose. God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men and made sovereign choice of his people out of all of mankind. And he chose out of that people an innumerable company, out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people, not just of the sons of Abraham, but both Jews and Gentiles. And tonight I'm surely thankful that he chose both Jews and Gentiles. I'm thankful that the Lord didn't choose us based on our choice of him, but he chose us because it was his good pleasure to do that, and because he loved his people with an everlasting, unconditional, eternal love. And we're talking about Jehovah, who's this self-existent God who does not change. And the eternal phase of our salvation in the work of God really, in a sense, was complete at the very foundation of the world. Now, that doesn't mean we were legally washed because Jesus had to come. Doesn't mean that we've been made alive because we had to be born again of the Spirit of God. Doesn't mean that we get to hear and understand the gospel, which is another type of salvation, or that we have reached the end of it. But you can be sure of this. Everyone that was involved in the eternal phase of the salvation will be in the final phase of the salvation. There will not be one lost in that number that God foreknew before the very foundation of the world. Whom he did foreknow, which means he loved, he also did predestinate, that means he prefixed their destiny, to be conformed to the image of his Son, which means one day they'll be made in fashion like unto him. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. And what shall we say to these things? I think we ought to say hallelujah. Thank the Lord. And as Israel tonight, we have every reason to thank the Lord. And there is much required of us. Now just in the eternal phase, we could just say, oh, how good the Lord has been to me. You know, the Lord could have left me right where I was. And where I was dead in trespasses and in sins. Where I was lost and far away from God. As the hymn writer said, lost and without a Savior, without any hope. And without any ability to change my course or change my way or do anything different All I knew was the things of man, and what would I know by man is but the spirit of man was in me, and I'd never choose to do good or to follow after God. No preacher could convince me of that. No Sunday school teacher could convince me of that. No mama, no daddy, no one could show me anything different. It took God to enlighten the eyes that were I wasn't just in the dark. Ye who were sometimes darkness, now are ye light in the Lord. And therefore we're to walk as the children of light. There is absolutely nothing that you and I could have made that to do to we could have done to make ourselves part of spiritual Israel. We wouldn't have wanted to do it, and we couldn't have done it. Now, here's the good news. The good news is that God made sovereign choice of His people. And whether I believe that tonight or whether I don't, it doesn't change the fact that God made sovereign choice of His people. And I, as a minister of the gospel, am to preach and to teach the ministry of reconciliation, which is to tell you as God's little children, because God loved you, He loved you so much in that eternal phase, He put in place everything that was going to accomplish us being with Him in the final phase of salvation, and that required the legal phase, which means Jesus had to come and die. And at the appointed time of the Father, the Lord sent His only begotten Son into this world. And Jesus came and lived His life perfectly. And He kept the law to a jot and to a tittle. He dotted every I. He crossed every T. He fulfilled the righteousness that was by the law. And by the way, no other way does righteousness come by the law. Righteousness will not come by the law. So if you and I try to keep the law and get good enough in order to be righteous before God, we'll never get there, because when I would do good, I'll find evil present with me. And if I'm guilty in one point of the law, according to James, he who is guilty of one point is guilty of the whole law. Therefore, the law was given so that we might see what sin was and understand what sin was, and also see that Jesus kept the law and kept it completely, and righteousness then can only come to us through Jesus. That's what we believe tonight. We believe that the God who chose His people in covenant before the foundation of the world sent His Son to legally die in our room instead. God, being a just and a righteous God, could not just say, I'm going to forget their sins, I'm just going to forget their trespasses, I'm going to let them into heaven anyway, even though they're not clean and washed. He will not allow that to take place, because God is a just God, and He's a justifier of those who believe in Him and trust in Him, and that is, He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross in my room and in my stead, and in the room instead of every one of the elect family of God. And there at Calvary, our sins were placed upon Him, and He bore our sins to the tree of the cross. And what He deserved, He gave to us. And what we deserved, He bore in our place. And there you see where grace and mercy met. Because grace gives us that which we don't deserve, and mercy keeps us from having that which we do deserve. And the Lord showed mercy to us and in sparing us and pouring out His wrath on His only begotten Son. And He showed grace to us by giving us the promise of one day being with Him in heaven in immortal glory, and much, much more here in this world while we're living here, which gives us another phase of His salvation, which occurs right here in time. Boy, this is good. I'm thankful we have a salvation that's so full and so complete. You see, the Lord not only has delivered, the Lord is delivering, and the Lord will yet deliver. Isn't that good tonight? That the Lord has delivered, the Lord is delivering, and the Lord will yet deliver. That's why you and I are to do what this scripture says and look nowhere else but to the Lord. I don't want you looking anywhere else tonight but to the Lord. I don't want me looking anywhere else tonight but to the Lord. I want to depend on the Lord, because He's worthy. Great is His faithfulness. He's worthy to be praised. He says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God? Now get this. He didn't say, what do you need to do to get the Lord to be your God? He says, the Lord is your God. He says, listen, Israel, the Lord is your God. How is the Lord the God of Israel? Because God chose Israel. Israel didn't choose God. God chose Israel. And by the way, spiritual Israel, spiritual Jews, do not choose God. God chooses them. And because God has chosen them and made them accepted in the beloved, they ought to lean upon Him, draw nigh to Him, draw close to Him, and look to Him as they live here in this world, that they might find that which they stand in need of day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, as we face life and its difficulties each and every single day. He is become our salvation. God's little children can miss some of that along the way. Because we close our eyes, we stop our ears up, we look the other way, we trust in other things. But I want you to know your eternal salvation is secure in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that also secured the final salvation. And also, by the way, He quickens you in time, which is another phase of salvation. Some people might ask you the question, when were you saved? And I'll tell you, that question requires the answer. What part of my salvation, what aspect, what phase of my salvation are you talking about? Because if you're talking about when I was made eternally secure, in a sense, I was eternally secure from the foundation of the world because the God of heaven who cannot fail saw fit to purpose to save His people. And by the way, everyone He saw fit to save, I believe, will be saved because He cannot fail. And He did not put a faulty plan in place. He did not put a faulty method in place. He didn't leave it up to man to do. He didn't put it in the hands of the preacher. He didn't put it in the hands of someone else. He sent His only begotten Son, who, by the way, was the only one who could do the legal phase, that is, wash us in His own blood, because He was the only one who's ever lived who was completely and wholly righteous without any sin or blot or blemish. When Jesus said there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." If there had been some other way that salvation could be brought, if there had been some other way that God's children could be delivered, if there was some other way that phase of salvation could have been completed, then other than Jesus coming and dying on the tree of the cross, I'm telling you, there would have been something else done, because the Son called unto the Father and cried unto the Father. Somebody said, "Was the Son in disagreement with the Father?" God forbid. Never has the Son ever been in disagreement with the Father, and the Father with the Son. But in order to teach us the lesson that there was absolutely no other way for us to be washed in the blood of Christ or to be cleaned up other than Jesus coming, there was no other possibility but for Jesus to come. And here's the good news. Jesus came, didn't He? What did He come to do? His name was called Jesus. Why? We know that verse. His name was called Jesus, for He shall, He what? He shall save who? Everybody? No, His people. Israel. His chosen people. He shall save His people from what? Did He die for everybody's sins? No. He shall save His people from their sins. That is God's chosen people that He knew in covenant before the very foundation of the world. And those He justified. When He sent His only begotten Son, our sins were taken from us and removed from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. And God no longer looks at us as the sinners that we are, because we have been made accepted in the Beloved. And you and I tonight have every reason to be active in our worship of Almighty God, active in our service to Almighty God, because can we not say together tonight, "The Lord has been so good to me." Even before the foundation of the world, when was I saved? In a sense, it was settled then when God made that choice. But that's not all that happened, because Jesus had to come. So we were not washed in the blood of the Lamb until the Lamb died, until He was crucified, until the blood flowed. And it flowed from the hinder sea to the former sea. And that blood that flowed washed us, and we were clean and made whole. And in a sense, our salvation was complete when Jesus said, "It is finished." It is finished. And when He went to the grave and He came forth from the grave, He was raised again for our justification. And we were at that point legally washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, everyone that He paid the sin debt for will never have one sin to pay a debt for, because that sin has been paid for. God is not going to require it twice. God's wrath is satisfied. Somebody said, you mean God was angry? Yes. In the sense that the wages of sin being death, there had to be a price being paid. God couldn't say, I'm just going to look the other way. Men do that all the time, but God's not like man. I'm glad He's not. He required His only begotten Son to come into this world, and the Son came willingly, and He died in our room instead and paid a sin debt, removing our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. And tonight you and I can rest in what Jesus did. My part I may mess up on. He did not mess up on His part. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that He didn't leave that part to us? By the way, He really hadn't left any part to us. Because when it gets down to our part, you can't do your part without Him giving you the strength to do that part. And He is able and does give us the strength and the ability to do what He would have us to do as we look to Him and we lean upon Him. When we trust in Him, even to the point of dealing with daily practical things, there's a practical phase of salvation that takes place as we trust in the Lord and lean upon Him. And when we trust in the Lord and lean upon Him, He will give you the strength to do things you cannot do. He will give you the wisdom to do things you don't know how to do. He'll give you the ability to walk where you could not walk before. He gave Peter the ability to walk on the water as Peter kept his eyes on the Lord. But when Peter pulled his eyes from the Lord and began to look into troubles, something happened, didn't he? Peter went down, but that didn't mean he went completely down because the Lord was right there. And when he cried out, Lord, save me, the Lord's hand was not short that He could not save. He reached down and helped Brother Peter. And I'm telling you tonight, you and I have a God who is worthy of our trust. He says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What does He require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God. Oh, tonight, should we not? I'm not talking about being afraid of God. Oh, there are too many people, too many of God's little children in the sense of being in a slavish way afraid of God. I'm talking, this verse is talking about having a reverential respect for God. It's talking about seeing God as the mighty God that He is. Don't play with Him. Don't think you can play with Him. He is worthy of our respect. He is worthy of our praise. He is to be honored. He's to be praised. That's why we get down on our knees before Him and we realize the awesomeness of being able to speak to Him. This is the God who loved us even before the foundation of the world. This is the God who sent His only begotten Son to die for us and pay a sin debt for us. This is the God who quickened us and made us alive in the new birth and came to us when we were dead in trespasses and in sins. This is the God who's allowed us by, and it's a wonderful blessing tonight if you've been allowed to sit under the drippings of the gospel and you've heard this message. Do you know there are so many of God's little children in this world that may live their life and not hear this wonderful message? And for us tonight to be privileged to be able to gather in a place where you hear this declared, that salvation is of the Lord, not part of the way, not some of the way, and that He tried to do something, but that He came to do what the Father sent Him to do, and Jesus did it. And He fulfilled it, and He accomplished it. And by the way, what God does, you can't add to it. It's perfect. You can't take from it, because God doeth it. And the reason He does it that way is that men might, what? Fear before Him. Which means tonight I'm going to respect Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to believe what He says. I want to lean upon Him. He says, but to fear the Lord thy God. That means just remember what He says is important. You know, if you've got a boss that tells you certain things and that boss requires it of you, and He says this is what you need to do, and that's what you need to do, and He's a boss who's consistent, and He's, you know, He keeps, you know, not all bosses are like that, but if he's a good boss and He's consistent, you're going to say, well, I know I got to do it because the boss said do it, and if I don't do it, there's going to be some consequences to do it. Can I say to you, above your boss is He on this earth, but above the president, above the mayor, above the kings, above anybody else in this world, there's a God in heaven above all that we should listen to, above anybody else. Above my thoughts, above your thoughts, above your daddy's, your mama's thoughts, above your family's thoughts, above whatever anybody else might think. He has written us in His Word, and we are to respect His Word and to read His Word. And when He tells us something in His Word, the fear of the Lord ought to cause us to say, I don't want to do different. When God says, do this, I want to do this. Listen, I had a fear of a good mama. I still have a fear of a good mama, even when she even when she's like where she's at right now, what she says to me means something. She says something to me, it means something. It's going to mean something. If you've had a good mama, you know what I'm talking about. And when she says something, you know she means it, because she's proven that if you don't do it, there's going to be some consequences. If you don't do it, there's going to be some consequences. And you don't always know what they are, but you know they're coming if she's consistent, right? Well, listen, your Heavenly Father, He keeps every promise He's ever made. He deals with us in mercy. He deals with us in love. But He also is a God who is to be feared. And when He teaches us something in His Word, we're not to disrespect Him and disregard that and think, well, maybe He didn't really mean what He said. As like one man said, God didn't give us 10 suggestions. He gave us 10 commandments, and they were commandments of things, not that maybe this will be good for you. And by the way, the commandments of God are not suggestions, but they are good for you. God didn't give you rules just so you had rules to keep. You know, sometimes we get the feeling like that's what's happened to us in our life. Somebody's just given me rules. And sometimes men do that. They give you rules just to give you rules to keep. God doesn't do that. God gives us rules to live by because it's the best way for us to live. It's for our good. And when we ignore those rules and we don't fear Him, we don't reverence Him, we don't honor Him as our Heavenly Father, has He not proven us enough to us that He loves us enough that we ought to listen to Him? You know why you listen to a good mama? Because she's proven to you that she loves you and she cares for you. A good daddy? Because he's proven to you that He loves you and He cares for you. Has your Heavenly Father been in any way to you, in any shape or form, where we should not trust in Him? Brethren, I'm telling you, He's been so good to us. He's worthy of our trust tonight. So I should fear before Him. And that's what He says is required of us. I think of that one passage over in Luke 12. The one, that unfaithful servant who disobeyed his Lord. And because he was given much, there was much required of him. Can you say tonight, as we sit here as old Baptists, hearing the gospel being preached and declared, has the Lord not been good to us? Has He not given us much? And if it's much been given to us, is there not much required? I'm not saying He requires it so that we can pay Him back. We'll never pay Him back for what He's done for us. But I'm telling you, Jesus paid it all. And all to Him I owe. And can we say that together? All tonight, all to Him we owe. We owe Him everything. He says one of the things we're to do is to fear the Lord thy God. And He's already the Lord your God. We're to fear Him. We're to reverence Him. And to walk in all His ways. Now, He didn't say walk in some of my ways. Walk in it when it's convenient. Walk in it when it kind of agrees with what you're thinking. Walk in it when you can fit it in. He's saying for us to take His ways. Now, how in the world can I know His ways? Well, He leads us by the Spirit of God in our heart. But He also has given us His Word as a lamp unto our feet and as a light unto our path. And we're to let God be true and every man a liar and be committed to that so that we live our lives and change our thinking according to the Word of God. In other words, I want to live by what the Word of God says. That's why it's important to be at church. That's why it's important to hear preaching. That's why it's important to study. To show yourself approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I know that primarily to the preachers, but it's not just to the preacher. I'll tell you, it's not going to be a whole lot of preaching being heard in a congregation where there isn't some study going on. Not only the study that takes place while you're preaching, but that which takes place before and during, so that you're searching God's Word like the good Berean brethren to be sure the things that you've heard are thus saith the Lord. Don't ever take it on face that even what I would say is absolutely true. You take it and try it by the Scripture. And then when you see it's God's way, then what do? You walk in it. How many times have we sometimes seen it was God's way, but then we counted the cost and thought, yeah, it's just going to cost too much. I'll tell you what costs too much is when you don't do it. If you found that out, I hope you haven't, but if you haven't, you will if that's the way you go. And I would encourage you not to go that way, because God is a God to be feared, and God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now remember, I'm not talking about how you get to be Israel, because you are Israel. I'm not talking how you get to be a child of God tonight, because I believe by the grace of God, you are a child of God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about how a little child of God lives in this world in a way to honor and glorify God. And that is the purpose of your existence on planet Earth. That's why you're here. Somebody says one of the big questions of life is, why am I here? Who am I and why am I here? I'm telling you, if you're not a little child of God, your purpose of being, if you're not a little, well, let's deal with this. If you are a little child of God, your purpose here is to be honoring and glorifying to God and live your life to let your light so shine in this world that you may glorify your Heavenly Father, give and that others may see your good works and glorify your Heavenly Father. We're here to praise the Lord. And that is to give Him the honor and the praise and the glory. And when we do that, we walk in the timely phase of our salvation that we have right here in this world, and we find the great blessings of just trusting God in obedience here in this world. And your life is filled with peace and rest, and your fear is taken away, and your worry gets less and even gone. And I tell you, as somebody who's worried enough to lose his hair and worried enough from time to time to have his heart start jumping beats, and doing all those things, it's a great, great consolation when you and I can simply trust in the God who saved us eternally to take care of us every single day of our life. And He will do that as we lean and trust and depend upon Him. He says, to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him. Isn't it good we're called to love Him? This is a fear, but it's a fatherly fear because you love Him. It's not a fear where you're afraid of Him. It's a fear where you love Him as your Heavenly Father. You're going to listen to Him and you serve Him because you love Him. And to serve the Lord thy God. And how are we to do that? We're to do it with all our heart and with all our soul. No half-hearted stuff. How much time sometimes do we spend in just half-heartedly serving the Lord? We get to church and we're just half-heartedly there. We haven't really come praying. Well, we're just showing up because it's Sunday night and it's time to be there. Listen, it ought to be, oh, it's Sunday night and I'm so thankful to be there. Oh, it's Sunday morning, I get to go to church today. Oh, it's time that I can spend in His Word. It's time that I can spend in prayer. It's not like, well, I just don't have time to do it today. But you understand, the most important thing that I have in my life is staying close to Him. Because He's going to be my strength in the storm. He's going to be my help in the storm. And if I don't have Him, I'm all alone. And I become like the vine. I become like the branches that are not abiding in the vine. And I soon wither and die. And men gather them and burn them in the fire. This is not those eternally cast away. It's those who lose the joy of that salvation that we have, like David lost it, when we turn and walk another way. God's little children might do that. They won't lose the final phase. But they may lose some blessings here in time. And I see, the ministry is not, He's supposed to help you not do that. He's supposed to preach and teach to trust in the Lord and lean upon the Lord. He says to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I love this part. He says, which I command thee this day for thy good. God doesn't just make rules for us to follow because He wants to just have us follow rules. He knows the best way for you and I to live. If the God who made, you know, if when you buy or get a new vehicle, you want to get an owner's manual, and they say it's a good idea to read the owner's manual of the vehicle in order to know how the vehicle operates. And I'm kind of learning that with the vehicle that I got. It's not new, but it's new to me. And I'm finding that a lot of times I don't know what's going on, so I should read the owner's manual. You know who wrote the owner's manual? The people who made the vehicle. That's how they tell you how it operates. And if you want to know how you're supposed to operate in this world, we're to read the owner's manual. And the owner's manual is your Bible that the Lord has given you. And you read that, and it'll direct you how to live and act and operate in this world. Even how to think. You know, somebody said, nobody can really tell you how to think. The Bible tells us how to think. It says there are some things we ought not be thinking about, and there's other things we ought to be thinking about. And as we study His Word and we do what He says, we find it's a daily blessing to us, a daily deliverance, a timely salvation to us as we trust and depend upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And lean not upon thine own understanding. That kind of tells me something you're thinking, right? Trusting in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. He said to keep His commandments, keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. He said, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. What is that verse there for? To tell you how big your God is. You look up at the stars at night, look at the heavens that the birds fly in, that'll overwhelm you. And then look at the heavens where the planets are and where the stars are, and that'll overwhelm you. And then think about that heaven that the Apostle Paul was carried up into the Spirit to see, the paradise of God, and he saw things unlawful to utter. And one day we'll be with the Lord there. By the way, God made all of that. You think that's something? God, the God you serve that takes care of you daily, made all of that. He made the heavens. That's why this verse is there. This is how big your God is. And He says, the Lord thy God. Who is it? Not the Lord a God, but the Lord thy God. Listen, He's your God, Israel. Why? Because you made Him your God? No, it's because He made you. And because He made you, He said, the earth also and all that therein is. God is the one who made all of this. Who do you think's in control? Who's in control? Isn't it silly for us to sometimes think we're in control when the God who made all things is the one who's in control? Should we not read His owner's manual to tell us how to live and act and behave? And then He says, only the Lord had a light in thy fathers. You think how big that is and all that the Lord did? Now come to this. If the Lord had that all in His and all of that, who am I that God would ever think of me? Who am I that God would have anything to do with me? Who is Israel? Who is Israel that God would ever choose me? Listen, the Lord looked down from, when He looked down upon man, we were like grasshoppers. We were just like, thou worm, old Jacob. Remember Leah? Long time ago I said, thou worm, old Jacob. She hollers out, I ain't no worm, Papa. Oh yes, in the sight of Almighty God, I'm telling you, that's all we are. And that's all we might feel to be. But I'm telling you, also in that natural way, but in a spiritual way, you're special in the sight of God. You're a little child of God. He's loved you. And in the covenant of grace, even before the foundation of the world, He sent His Son to die for you. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a purchased or a peculiar people. And your purpose of being here is to show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light. And we do that when we trust Him day in and day out for every single affair of our life. And the one I'm talking about trusting in is the one who made the heavens that you look up into and the earth and everything that therein is. He's a big God. He's a big God. And He's worthy of our trust. And He says, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And He chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. And because of that, and we'll close with verse 16, He says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Who's He talking to? He's talking to Gary Hughes. By the way, you can put your name in that little blank too. He's talking to each and every one of us. He's telling us to put off the old man and his deeds. You're no longer the old man. You used to be, but you're no longer. He's worked a work of grace in your heart. You are a new creature. Old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So when that old man rises up, you put off that old man with his deeds, with her deeds. And you put on the new man. You remember, this is my God. He loves me. None of this makes you a little child of God. You're already His child. You're already a part of Israel. But I'll tell you what, it tells you what Israel is required to do. And that is to trust the Lord every day, every hour. And when I trust Him and I lean upon Him, I will never be ashamed. Over in Romans 10, and I've been in on Romans 10 kind of all weekend, and I'm going right back there again because Romans 10 says it this way. He says in Romans 10 and verse 9, He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Can we say that tonight? I want to confess with my mouth that I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe my salvation is in Him. I believe in my home in heaven is secure in Him. I believe tonight is in His hands. I believe tomorrow will be in His hands. I believe as I go through tomorrow and face the troubles of my day-to-day life, I have the Lord Jesus Christ who is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me, and I can pray to Him and I can talk to Him. He has the Holy Spirit in my life. He, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's going to every day load me with the blessing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I have a promise of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And I want to make that confession tonight with my mouth. It's important that I make that. You say, what mouth can make that? It's certainly not the mouth that's full of cursing and bitterness, the natural man. It's the mouth of a little child, born again child of God, that should speak and declare these things. That's what we ought to preach. That's what we ought to talk to one another. We're to confess Him. He says, For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. How can I believe in my heart? He's given me the faith to enable me to believe that God had raised Him from the dead. Do you believe He's raised from the dead? You don't believe He's still in the grave, do you? You believe He's a risen Savior? I do. I believe that. How? By faith that He's given me. He says, if we do that, thou shalt be saved. Does that mean that gets me to heaven? No, what it does, it gives me peace about my salvation right now. It gives me peace about where I'm going to be if I die. But He also gives me peace about where I am while I live. Hear me. I need that now, don't you? I don't need dying grace when I die. I don't need dying grace yet. I need living grace. I need grace to live. I need grace to help me. When I am weak, I want to look to Him as my strength. I need to be able to confess with my mouth that He's my Savior and He's my Lord. I need to feel that He's with me. I need to lean on His everlasting arms. I need to trust and depend upon Him. I need to keep my eye on Him. I need to remember, and I owe Him that. Listen, it's required of me. He's been good to me. It's required of you. He's been good to you. That's what He requires of us. And it's a blessing. It's for our good that it's required of us. Because, when you're close to Him, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. This is not an outside activity. This is something that we put off the old man. And how can we do that? Only by the grace of God. Because you remember, this is never about something we did in order to God give us something. That's works. It's about what God has given us the ability to do. We do it. We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So you say, I don't think I have the strength to do it. I can tell you, you don't have the strength to do it. I said this yesterday, but I feel like saying it, and I need to say it again tonight. Sometimes the thought is given, God will never put more on you than you can bear. And there's a sense in which that's true. But there's a sense in which that's not true. God can and does put more on you at times than you can bear. Just so you know you're not handling it. And you got to trust in Him. I'm going to tell you what He won't do. He won't give you more than He'll give you the ability to bear. He won't give you more. He'll allow you to see you can't handle it so that you'll trust in Him and depend upon Him. And when you trust in Him and depend upon Him, I'm going to tell you 100% of the time, I don't have any doubt about that right at this moment. 100% of the time, He will give you grace sufficient for the hour and for the moment as His little child, because you're Israel and He loves you. You're a peculiar treasure in His sight. You're a purchased people. He loved you enough to give His own Son. If He could freely give His own Son, how should He not also with Him freely, Romans 8, freely give us what? All things. That means whatever it is that I need. You say, well, I'm not deserving to be His son. That's a pretty good evidence you are. If you feel that you're not deserving. If you feel like, well, if anybody deserves it, then I deserve it. Well, there's not a whole lot of evidence there. But I'm telling you tonight, if you feel like that couldn't be me, I hope and pray, I'd love it to be me. But I'm afraid it's not me. I'm telling you, I'm talking to you. Because it's God's little children that feel like that. If you understand that you don't deserve it, and you haven't merited it, I'm telling you this is the truth. And I want you to believe it. I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to believe it. And in believing it, you'll find a peace and a rest that you will not find when you doubt and walk another way. A young rich ruler walked away, but he didn't walk away happy. He walked away sorrowful. I'm telling you tonight, let's not walk away sorrowful. Let's trust in the Lord. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You want to be happy in Jesus? Well, you trust Him and you obey. There's no other way but to trust and obey. Let me get this last and I'll close. For thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's not the heart of a dead alien sinner. That's the born again heart of a little child of God, one who's circumcised in the heart. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's not a mouth full of cursing and bitterness. That's a mouth that's been made ready to praise God. And with the mouth, that spiritual mouth, you make confession unto God. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. You confess the Lord. You let that be your speech. Yeah, and when you can't feel it and you can't say it, then you say, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And I believe with all my heart He will. He will. How do I know that? Because He promised to. And God keeps His promises. He says, for the Scripture saith, and I've closed with how many verses now? I guess I'll really close with this one. He says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You can trust in people and they'll let you down. You'll get ashamed you trusted in them. Have you ever done that? You ever had somebody say, I'm going to really trust them. I'm going to tell them something and I know they'll keep it. And they won't go right out and tell somebody else. And you, I should have known about it. Shouldn't have said anything to them. You might even someone that you really are close to and really love. It might be a brother, a sister, a parent. Somebody you think, well, I can really trust. But they might let you down because they're human. And they may even not want to and do it. And may even slip up. Have you ever let somebody down even when you didn't want to? You didn't mean to? I'm going to tell you, when the one we're talking about tonight, the one who made the heavens and the heavens and the heaven of heavens and the earth and everything there is, you trust in Him tonight, you'll never be ashamed you did it. Never. You'll always be thankful I trusted in Him. And He will supply unto you exactly what you need. Listen, here's the wonderful thing about all that. Sometimes we say, well, Lord, I've done so much that I haven't done that. How could I ever get back on track? Jesus took every doubt you ever had and all the sin that you ever had and He nailed it to Calvary, never to be remembered against you anymore. And when we come and say, Lord, forgive me, I've sinned, He's faithful and just to forgive us from all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's washed away from you just as if it had never happened. Just as if it had never happened. Is that good news? It sure is for me tonight. If I thought it was something I had to do to add to that, oh, I'd be in trouble. And sometimes the old flesh gets like that, and we think in that way, but I'll tell you, trusting in the Lord, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. I love you. Bless you.